Hi. My voice is a little scratchy now. I just want to thank Pastor Shelton for giving me the opportunity to do this. And I didn't think I'd ever be doing something like this. I don't know why I am right now. No, I know why I am, but I'm really wishing I wasn't. But I told Brother Chris that if I was a real preacher and I could go for an hour, I'd go for an hour just in spite of him. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to punish everyone else for his whatever he does. So. All right, I'm not going to really be preaching to you. I'm just going to be talking to you. Just in a couple points from some of my devotions that I've been doing on faith and following the Lord. And just some key points that I've noticed, and I just want to share with you guys. Basically, I'm going to be talking to myself, talking to you. So I just want you to understand what's going on in my mind and what I'm thinking through all this. And then at the same time, maybe it'll help some of you guys with what you're doing too. I'm going to start with talking about faith. If you want to turn your Bibles to 1 John 5, and we're going to start in verse 4. Oh, that's nice. New Bible, the pages are kind of sticky. 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Basically, he's talking about if we have faith in God and faith in Christ as our Savior, we're going to overcome everything in the world that comes to us. Like any kind of sin that comes in our life, he's not going to put it in our life if we can't overcome it through his power. And I want to talk about, once you overcome the sin, it's the residues of the sin after that we have to watch out for. It's not hard when we're praying and reading our Bible to overcome the sin at first, but it's the sin that's left, like the thoughts in our mind that's left afterwards. And sometimes that gets me. They say when you're bored, it's the devil's handiwork that's his time for when you're bored, because you're sitting there doing nothing, and that's when your mind wanders, you know, what can I do? What can I get into, you know, to have some fun? And if you're bored, you should get in your Bible, because that's the time you want to show Satan, you know, that you're going to keep on the Lord's path and show him, you know, what's going on, because, sorry. Because he's going to keep coming after you, whether you're reading the Bible or not. But if you're reading the Bible, that's going to give God time to fight him off with you at the same time. So you're not going to be in your own power. Because in our own power, we can't beat Satan. And also, another thing we need to have faith with is some of us have like anxiety and worries. And the Lord doesn't like when we worry, because we need to be having faith that he's going to be taking care of us. And a couple verses I have. Well, actually, I have some facts first. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, over 23 million people suffer from anxiety disorders. And anxiety, it disrupts work, it disrupts the family, it disrupts your overall attitude. And Christians are certainly not immune to the problem of anxiety, but at the same time, if anxiety affects our work life and our family life, what do you think it does to our Christian life, walk with God? It does the same thing. If we're worrying all the time and not letting God take care of things, then God's not first in our life, and we're not totally committed to following him in anything that we do. And that's been kind of my problem. I guess it's not really, I mean, it is a problem, but it's kind of been in the back of my mind that I've just been trying to get away from, because going to college and basically I don't really know anyone in Crown. It's just kind of been, I don't want to say thrown on my lap, but God's kind of placed it there for me to go to. And he every step that he's showed me and made me take leads to Crown. And I can't go there saying that I have friends and saying that I'm just going to hang out and have fun, because it's not the case at all. It's because I want to learn about, you know, more about him and see what he has to do for my life. And the anxiety of that, you know, money situations, anything like that, the Lord wants me to give to him. And I know that, but sometimes it's a lot harder than just reading the Bible and, you know, saying, Lord, it's in your hands. We really have to give it up to him and give him the full control of it. And he will take care of us. I mean, we can't just sit at home on our couch and say, you know, it's all yours, Lord. Just send the money in the mail or something, you know. It's up to you. But we got to be out, you know, doing all we can do through him at the same time. We have to totally give it to him, but we can't just totally back off after we give it to him. We have to pursue it and go after it. And also, he talks about the cure for anxiety in the Bible. But some people out there, you know, try to find the cure in medicines or any kind of other, like, something you could take, just the easy way out, I guess you could say. And it might get rid of the physical feelings, but it never really clears your mind of all that stuff. And I want to turn in Matthew 6:30, and we'll read a little bit about that. And then it says, Matthew 6:30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" And basically he's saying, you know, if he takes care of, you know, keeping the grass green and keeping the sun shining for us, he's going to make sure we're taken care of and everything else. He's not going to just leave us out to dry. You know, if I go up to college and, you know, if I'm doing what he wants me to do, he's not going to just leave me alone up there and, you know, make me fail or anything. If it's what he wants me to do, he's gonna guide me through it and I'll succeed. But if I don't, then I know that's not what he wants me to do. So I don't need to be worried about that either. I just need to go fully prepared to serve him and do what he has me to do, no matter what the case or no matter how hard it might be, all the late nights and everything that comes with the territory. I just need to be fully prepared to work as hard as I can. And I know if I'm doing what he wants me to do, he's going to bless me for it and take care of me. Also, Matthew 8:25 through 26, I'm going to look at that too. "And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" That's little faith again, he says. "Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." So he took care of them even though they didn't have faith, but at the same time he wants us to give him our problems, but he doesn't want us to whine and complain about it. He wants us to just continue to serve him no matter what the cases may be, and just to continue going on and to just give everything that we have to him and make sure our hearts are open to change or to whatever else goes on. Just because something happens that's bad doesn't mean that he doesn't want us to continue to do what we're doing. That might be just Satan trying to bring us down. We don't want to get confused with that, because if we're on the path for God, Satan's going to try even harder to bring us down. And we can't get confused with that being God, you know, saying this isn't for us, but we need to continue and work hard and, you know, be in prayer about it. Prayer is one of the most powerful things we can do, because even if we can't do anything ourselves about it right now, we need to pray about it, and then he'll line up things for us that we need to take steps in, and he'll show us exactly where to go if we just have open minds and open hearts towards it. And I want to just, like, get back to faith. Some people say that they, you know, they have a hard time with faith. They have a hard time believing, you know, God's going to take care of them right now. But at the same time, they're Christians. They're saved. They're going to heaven. And that's one of the things. You can't go to heaven without faith. You have to have faith that Jesus died on the cross and cleansed you from your sin. And that's the first act of faith right there. You have to know or believe in your heart that that happened. If you're going to put faith in that Jesus is going, he died on the cross, and you're putting your eternity in him, your faith that you're going to be with him for eternity, why can't you have faith that he's going to take care of you now? Amen. And for the rest of the time until eternity starts? And just because we might not have the coolest car or the latest clothes fashion or you know, some of the cool friends, doesn't mean that we're not living in his will. Just because we're in his will doesn't mean he's going to give us all that other stuff. But of course, if we're in his will, we're not going to need all that other stuff to be happy anyways. Right. We're going to understand and know that you know, we're doing what he wants us to do. And even if we're working hard, he's gonna make us joyful, like Pastor Shelton was talking about before, being joyful. If we're doing what he wants us to do, no matter what it may be, we'll be joyful through it, and we won't have to worry about, you know, am I going to be happy later? Because right now we're doing what he wants us to do. So right now we'll be joyful, and later that'll line us up for later. Amen. after faith, after we get the faith down, obviously we'll never get the faith fully down, because we'll never be able to fully not worry and do that, because that's part of our sin nature. But after faith, we need to follow him. And I want to go to Matthew 6:33. And it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So after we get the faith down and we want to start following him, the first thing we need to do to follow him is seek him first. Amen. And to go to him in prayer and ask him about what he wants us to be doing, and to really kneel down and just spend time with him. We can read our Bible all the time, but really, the prayer time is the one-on-one time with God that we get during the day or night, that we just need to take time and to really talk to him and ask him and be in deep prayer about what we need to be doing today, not really tomorrow. I mean, we want to worry about tomorrow too, but we got to worry about today first and what we need to be doing today to get to where we're going tomorrow, and so he can line all that up for us. And then Matthew 6:34 says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So there he tells us right there, just worry about what he's got for us today, and he'll take care of tomorrow. Amen. So even though money might be a problem right now, if we're making it right now, we don't need to worry about if we already spent the money for tomorrow on things that, you know, obviously we don't go out and buy a car and then say, "Lord, I need my money for my house payment tomorrow," or whatever. But we just need to, you know, the things that really matter, he'll provide for the things that need to be provided for tomorrow. And then Matthew 19:21. Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." So he's telling us that we just, whatever we have now, we need to be willing to give up for him if he asks us to, or if he takes it from us. We can't worry about our earthly possessions. We just need to follow him and what he has going for us right now. Even if we might be struggling in the economic times, he's still going to take care of us. We might not have everything, but he's still going to take care of us. And we just need to be willing to give everything to Christ and give all that we have, and everything that we may want, we might not necessarily need for later. And I have a little story I wanted to tell about three hunters. Brother Mickey will probably like this story. Talking about following tracks. The first hunter, you know, they're all out, you know, in the cold, and they're ready to pack it in, but they all say they're going to go out at least one more time. So the first guy says, you know, "I'm going to go out," and he tells him exactly what he's going to go out and shoot. He says, "I'm going to go out and shoot me a raccoon." So he goes out, comes back with a raccoon. The other two guys are like, "How'd you do that? We haven't seen an animal the whole time we've been here." And he goes, "You know, I just follow tracks. Boom, shot a raccoon." So the other guy's like, "Wow, well, I'm going to go out and get me a moose. I'm going to aim big." And the guys are like, "You're crazy. You're not going to be able to do that." And he goes out and he brings back a moose, a baby moose, but it was still a moose. And the guys are like, "How'd you do that?" He's like, "I followed tracks. Boom, shot a moose." The other guy, he wasn't so decisive. He just goes, "You know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to shoot something." He goes out. He comes back with a broken arm and a broken leg. And the guy's like, "How did that happen?" He's like, "I followed tracks. Boom, got hit by a train." So you didn't know you were getting a hunting lesson, did you, Brother Mickey? Stay away from the train tracks. But I just want to say that to say this. We got to know what we're going after. We don't want to just aimlessly go out there like the third hunter did and end up, you know, in broken and in pieces because we didn't really, you know, we didn't know what we were going out for. We kind of just went out. That's like a newly saved Christian going out and a Jehovah's Witness talking to him. He might not know any better. So he might turn the wrong way and end up getting hurt or, you know, messed up for the future. But if we go out knowing what we're going out for and knowing and determining in our hearts to serve God, and nothing's going to, you know, make us wayward on that path, then we're going to come back with what God has for us. And it'll always, you know, be God's will, obviously. And we just need to be, you know, determined to follow that. Amen. And I want to read one more verse, or a couple more verses. And then 1 John 5:14. And it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." So again, with the prayer thing, we just need to be in prayer and talk to him about what our desire is and what our will is, or our what we want him to do for him. And if it's his will, he'll hear us and he'll help us through the whole thing. I had an old youth pastor one time when I was thinking about the whole crown thing at first. I called him on the phone and I was asking him, you know, I was like, I just don't want to do the wrong thing. I want to be in God's will, because if I'm not in God's will, I'm not going to ever be happy. I'm never going to succeed in life. And I told him, I don't know what college to pick. I don't know what to do. And he's like, you know, I told him I was thinking about Crown and Heartland, but Crown came to my mind first. And he told me that, you know, Satan's not going to put in my mind to go to a Bible college, and that he's not going to tell me, you know, go spend a year at Bible college and hear all about God's word and everything. God put that in my heart. So that really, it was an encouragement to me that, you know, Satan's not going to tell us to go and do something right. He's not going to tell us to go to soul winning. He's not going to tell us to do anything. He's not going to hinder us from coming back to Satan. You know, Satan, he's not going to hinder us from going into sin. So that really spoke to me, you know, like, Satan's not going to send me to Bible college to learn about God and everything that goes on there, and to try to follow and find God's will for my life, and, you know, to seek after God. And that really helped me a lot. It was so, like, when I heard him say that on the phone, it just, like, clicked. I'm like, yeah, it's got to be true. And I want to read one more verse, Psalms 37, 5. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." It's again with the following God and committing everything to him, everything that goes, all these Bible verses, they're not just one telling you that, you know, if you listen to the Lord and obey him, he's gonna bless you and continue to show you the way to go. He mentions it throughout the Bible, and he shows us through other disciples and other prophets that if we pray, it's still the same today. We might not have visual miracles, but if we pray and seek after him the same way the prophets did, he's going to guide and direct us in the same way, but without the visual stuff. And that's where faith comes in again. We need to have faith that he's guiding and directing everything that we do. And I was just kidding about the one more verse thing. I have one more verse. Matthew 6:10. And it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven." So that just goes to show you that the Lord's will is going to get done. And I want to be the one that helps him do it. I don't want to miss my chance. I want to go to college, and, you know, I want to be used greatly of God. I want to be involved in as much as I can be involved in, and, you know, talk to other kids once I get, you know, out of college and be a little older. I want to talk to other people, other kids like me, and be an influence to them. And to really, you know, to have a heart for them, and to really show God's love through me to them. And I want to thank Brother Chris too, because he does an awesome job at that, and he makes himself readily available for anything that we might need. And we make a lot of fun of him, but he's cool, I guess. But that's my last verse. I just want to close in prayer, and then I'll be done. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for everything you've given me, Lord. I thank you for giving me this opportunity, Lord, to talk to the people of God, Lord. I thank you for letting me sing in the quartet, Lord. I pray that you just bless this church as I go away, Lord. I pray that you help it to continue to grow and have your way and will with that, Lord. I pray that you'd help me as I leave. I pray that you'd keep guiding and directing my life, Lord. Help me to do what you would have me to do. And I thank you for all my good friends and family members here, Lord. I thank you for them. I pray you'd bless them, keep them safe. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.